is, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You remember that verse of Scripture. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And here's why. Because they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And that's all connected to that one verse. We usually take the first part of it and never finish it. But the reason that a person says there is no God, it's not just a belief of theirs. It's not just their right to believe that there is no God. It's because they're corrupt to the core. Because you see, we're not talking about religion. We're not talking about the freedom to either believe or not believe. Doesn't have anything to do with this. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul, the Bible says you're a fool. Now, if that, and I hope that sounds harsh, because I believe it's time that we get harsh about something that's so important, and that is the eternal life of people who are going to a devil's hell. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, we are grateful for this day, and we're grateful that you give us the opportunity to be reminded that there were many, many people who have given their life so that we could have this freedom of meeting here today and hearing your precious word, your eternal word, your word that is serious about where a person spends eternity. And we thank you for that. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or they know of someone who does, God, I pray that we'll listen seriously today and make a decision that'll change our lives forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do believe that a person who is a fool does foolish things. I believe that's why they would be called a fool, is that they do foolish things. And there's a reason for that, for me saying that, because I, rather than look up the word fool, I looked up the word foolish. And I'm going to give you some words that describe foolish. And they're not far out where we shouldn't say them. They should be said, because according to the Bible, a fool does foolish things. So here's what a foolish thing is. A person who is foolish lacks good sense and judgment. Would we agree? If I have done a foolish thing, that means that I lacked good sense and my judgment at that time was no good. My understanding was not right. Now, that doesn't take away the fact that I did the foolish act. But I did. And you have, I'm sure, if you've lived any time at all. We've done foolish things. And we did that because we didn't have the good sense to not do it. And our judgment was clouded and we didn't do it. But I didn't stop right there. I looked on at the words that mean the same thing. And here's what they are. Unwise. Stupid. That one hits home, doesn't it? Don't want to be called stupid, do we? But if we've acted the fool and done foolish things, it's stupid. And that word probably goes a little deeper than I'm using it right now, because we've used it in our everyday language so much that it's kind of vague, maybe in a total understanding of it. Silly. idiotic, half-witted, witless, brainless. Wow, y'all are smiling now. You must know some people. Mindless. Thoughtless. Imprudent. Innoxious. Irresponsible. There could have been more. I had to stop. I was getting tired. But that's what foolish is. And if a person is committing foolish acts, it's because they're a fool. Now, I'm going to take away the reason we would say that a person is a fool, because I've got to get into the Word of God. And in the Word of God, we find out what a real fool is, not just what we think a fool is. I was going out to the interstate one day, and here come a guy on a motorcycle. Odd I should mention those. But here come a guy on a motorcycle, and it was a young guy, as much as I could see of him. But he was swinging that bike in and out of traffic, must have been doing at least 90 to 100 miles an hour. And I said, there goes a fool. That is a foolish thing to do. But we have done things just as foolish. It just that we don't ride a crotch rocket at 100 miles an hour, zooming in and out of traffic. But we've done foolish things. But I wanted to get into the Word of God and to what God says, because God has more than just, I think when I hit this the other day, I maybe mentioned three different types of people who do foolish things or are called fools according to the Bible. But I got into it a little bit more, and God opened up a door for me, and I'm going to share that with you. By the time I get down there, you're going to say, well, yeah, I remember that Psalm 14:1, because I remember you talking about the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. The fool does say there is no God, but there's a reason why he says there is no God, and I told you a few minutes ago, because he's corrupt. Now, if I looked up the word corrupt, then I could tell you what that means, right? But you say, well, I already know what corrupt is, because we usually use that word with people who are doing the wrong things in politics or in business in some way or other. It's a corrupt business. It's corrupt politics. That's the way we use it. But there are things we do in our everyday life that are corrupt. There are things that we do personally in the way we handle ourselves in an everyday setting, and it's corrupt. But the person who believes that there is no God is totally corrupt. There's no good in them whatsoever. None. That's what the Bible would tell us, that he's a pure fool, that there's nothing good about him. If he or she says that there is no God, what they're doing in their corruptness, they're rebelling against what God is. You see, nobody, if we're living in our own human nature and we want what we want as human beings, we don't want anybody telling us what to do. Now, we sense that spirit in our everyday lives. We do. If you turn the TV on, you're going to find out that that spirit prevails, that nobody wants to be told what to do. We're going to do what we want to do. And we'll make laws and rules to regulate so that we can all do what we want to do. So everybody's free to be. Just do what you want to do. And if it's not right today, we'll come up with some way to make it right for you tomorrow. So just keep on doing what you're doing. Because that's what a fool does. When they believe there is no God, they're saying, I don't want a supreme being over me, because as far as I'm concerned, I am supreme. I am my own person. I am the one who's going to find my way to heaven. I'm the one who's going to not only know God, I'll be my own God while I'm here. That's a fool, because he's corrupt in his own thinking, and he's corrupt in the fact that he does not want anybody telling him what to do, even God, the God of the Bible. The fool does not have anything in him that would say or could say that the Bible is the pure word of God and it should be my rule for living. He's not going to do that. So if you run across somebody who that's what they're saying, that's what how they're acting, don't think so badly of them. That's what they're doing naturally because they're fools. And I always say to people when I see that type of activity in somebody's life, I just say, well, I just pray for them. I pray that their eyes will be open and that they'll know that there is a God in heaven and he is supreme, and he's not going to just be supreme if you allow him. He's going to be supreme no matter what. And his word is his eternal, powerful word. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will never change in its power. But the fool does not believe in the word of God, will not have anything to do with it. In fact, the Bible says, O fools, slow of heart to believe. Slow of heart to believe. So that when I preach a gospel message that has to do with salvation, and a person who's lost sits in the congregation and hears that message, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm assuming at this point in time that the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts and told them that they were lost and they needed a Savior. They were going to die and go to hell if they don't, or they could die and go to heaven if they do. And I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to a person. I don't believe that God will give a man a message and stand behind the pulpit and preach it, and somebody sit in a congregation lost as they can be and not know that they're lost, and the Holy Spirit convict them and convince them that they need to make a decision that will be good for their eternal life. I do believe that God does that. But the person who is a fool, he won't believe the word of God. So you see, the preacher is at a disadvantage, kind of. Doesn't mean that the word is not true. Doesn't mean that the word is not powerful. It's just that if the person doesn't believe it, the person's not going to believe it. You can't make a person believe the word of God. Now, I've heard some strong preaching in my days. I've heard good preaching. I've heard bad preaching. I've done both myself, I hope. The good part, anyway. But I know that I've preached some messages that didn't strike home. Maybe because my own heart wasn't ready for it to deliver that message, or maybe it just was not the message for the time and I didn't listen to God. I don't know. But I know that I've heard a lot of preaching. And I've heard preachers who are so forceful that they would actually take a spoon and go back and cram it down people's throats to make them make a decision. You can't do that. You can't do that. If the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces, and that person listens and makes a decision, then they can be saved. But you can't save a person forcefully. It's not going to happen. But if a person doesn't believe the word of God, they're not going to accept any part of God's word. Any part of it. And I know there are folks who want to accept certain parts because it fits their way of life. I'll believe that because, yeah, I could go along with that because that's not going to interrupt my life. I don't have to worry about that, so I'll accept that. No, you can't do that. You can't go in and take this page out and that page and leave this one in and leave that one in. It is the Bible from beginning to end. From Genesis to Revelation, we can't remove any of it. We can't add to any of it. It's God's holy word, and if you're going to heaven, you're going to accept, not as a fool reject, you're going to accept the word of God as the inspired word of God, and it is profitable if for reproof, for correction. Amen? And if you don't want that in your life, then you're a fool. And he says so. And if we're not willing to accept the word of God, we're going to play the role of fool, and we're going to be a fool right on into hell. That's what he says. Then, I believe I hit this one when I was preaching that different message about fools, is that a fool mocks sin, laughs at it. I heard one time years ago, and I've never forgotten it, and I have never stopped reminding people that we've all probably at one time or other, because of a joke that was not right, we've probably laughed because it was a joke that had to do with some sort of sin. And so we would rather laugh at it than to make people think that we're some kind of prude. And you know what I mean. And so we laugh at it. And I was trying to think, I believe that the thing that we laugh at most is a drunk. I believe the thing that we would laugh at most is a drunk. Unless that drunk is your son. Or unless that drunk is your daughter. Or your husband. Or your wife. Or your best friend. I'll guarantee you, you won't laugh. But a fool, they'll mock, they'll laugh at sin. That's what it is. They'll laugh at it. Because they don't believe that sin has power over them, or that sin has power over that person. Oh, it's just a habit. It's just a bad habit, and it'll go away. They'll get over it. It'll be fine. They'll get help, and everything will be okay. The only help that a person's going to get that's going to stop that is that they get in touch with the power of God and allow the power of God to come into their life and drive that thing far from their minds and their hearts. As long as we try to handle it ourselves, we'll laugh at it. And we'll laugh at it to make sure it's not as bad as we think or as we know it is. The fool, he's going to laugh at it. He's going to mock that sin. The fool, now I believe I mentioned this one. The fool will build on sand instead of rock. Now that might not mean a whole lot to you if you've never built anything, but if you're going to build something that's going to be solid, you definitely do not want it to be built on sand. You want it to be built on a solid foundation. But the fool hears, but he won't do. He hears, but he won't do. And so the reason he does that is because he's building on sand. His whole life is built on sand. There is nothing solid about that person's life. He's a fool. If you build on sand, you're a fool. If you build on the fact that your parents were Christians and they took you to church or drug you to church, good habit to have, drug habit. You were drugged to church or whatever, and I've had people tell me, oh, my parents drugged me to church, and I don't want to have anything to do with it now. They just made me go, and I don't, well, good for them, right? If you were a child and you didn't drive a car and you didn't have your own life paying your own rent and everything, if you're going to be living there, I like those old-fashioned parents who say, get in the car. We're going to church. And if you're going to live here, you're going to do the right thing inside this house. I know parents who have lived with their children when their children got up older in age, their children would use language like a sailor. Sorry, Navy guys. But we know what we're talking about. But here's a fool who's building his life on sand, and there is no solid foundation there. And I would say to you, do not fall into this where you would believe this refuge of lies that this world wants to hand you, and you build your life on that. Because the fool is going to do exactly that in his own self-righteous way. He's going to build on sand. This will keep you away from a life of saved. Salvation won't be your foundation for your life. Salvation's the only solid thing you can base your life on. The fool, he's not going to believe that. Not going to. The fool will not redeem the time. Now, I know I didn't touch that last time, but I'm going to touch it this time. The fool will not redeem the time. And you say, well, what in the world does that mean? That means that God give you this morning. When you got up, when your eyes opened and you got up, your day began because God gave it to you. He opened your eyes and he says, I'm giving you today. Or part of the day, we don't know. But I'm giving you today. And you have the right, the privilege to get up, eat your breakfast, thank God for that, and get in your car and drive to church and worship me. You have that right. And that's a privilege that I've given you. And I hope that you'll buy in on that. But you see, the fool does not redeem the time. The fool does not take the fact that God has given them 5 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, a day, a week, a month, whatever God gives us, we've got to redeem that time. We've got to buy in on that and say, God, I thank you for giving me that, and I'm going to take that time and I'm going to use it for your glory. But you see, the person who's lost doesn't think that way. They don't care about the time. Time is just something that's owed them because they were born to somebody years ago. So they're not going to buy in on it. They're going to squander their youth. Now, all of us have squandered some days, weeks, or months in our youth, right? All of us have done that. But when we come to the knowledge of salvation, we quit squandering. We quit not redeeming the time. We quit not noticing that what God gives us, we've got to do something with it. That's why a lost person continues to put off salvation. Just put it off. Somewhere down the road, you'll get another opportunity. And before you die, God will give you that opportunity. Go ahead and live your life the way you want to live it. It'll be okay. Be foolish. Be a fool. Or as I said earlier, be stupid. Be silly. Be idiots. Be unwitted. Be brainless. Be witless. Be mindless. Be thoughtless. Be irresponsible with what God has given you. Just be that. It's what a fool does. What a fool does. Because they don't believe that their life could be snapped out just like that. But it could. Walk not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And it's getting more evil, folks. According to the verse of scripture I read the last time, there was a farmer who had been very successful. He filled his barns, he filled them all up, got them all the way full, built him some more barns because he was progressing. The biggest room in his house would have been the room for progress, and he just continued to progress and build until he got to where he didn't need God. It didn't even look that way. He was laying up for himself treasures in heaven because it was all about him. He was being a fool. He had the wrong concept of life. He had the concept that today is what I have and today is all I need. He didn't have any concept that down the road somewhere his last breath would fall out of his chest and he would be, they would be calling Morse Baker or Appalachian or somebody for him. Didn't think about that at all. Because a fool doesn't think that way. It's all about him, himself. And he prepares to live, but he doesn't prepare to die. That's what a fool does. Just simply, I'm not going to die. Well, that brings me to a verse of Scripture that God laid on my heart. And you say, you mean you're just now beginning to preach? Not really. If you've been listening, not really. But this one was laid on my heart heavy, and especially for someone. There are going to be fools who are going to die outside the city of refuge. Now, I tell you that because I want to share this with you so that you won't leave here thinking that you're okay, because if you're lost, you're not okay. You're not okay as far as the Bible is concerned. You're not okay as far as your life is concerned. You're not ready to meet God. Doesn't matter how you think about it. If you're not saved, you are not ready to meet God. Now, I want to show you this. I got to take you back to the Scriptures because this is real important. I did a little study on this city of refuge. It's not the first time I've heard of it, by the way, but I had to do a little bit of digging on this because I'm going to relate this to your relationship with God or your lack of relationship to God, because it is so tied and related to that. The cities of refuge were six Levitical towns in the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah in which the perpetrators of accidental manslaughters could claim the right of asylum. In other words, if you kill someone and it was an accident, you could go to this city. See, if you don't get there, you're in trouble. Because if you killed a man and he has a brother, he can kill you. He can shed your blood. But if you can get to the city of refuge, he can't bother you. Now, there's a message here for your eternity. This is not just a story about cities that you could run to if you accidentally killed somebody in the Old Testament and it's outside that realm. No, this is inside the realm of your eternal relationship with God. It goes on to say, outside these cities, blood vengeance against such perpetrators was allowed by law. It was allowed. You were okay to kill the person if they killed your family member. You could do it. The Bible names of these six cities of refuge was Golan, Ramoth, and Besor on the east side of the Jordan River, and Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron on the western side. I don't know why I'm naming those for you. I'm just wanting to name them for you so you know they were real places. These were places that were set up for them so that this could happen if this horrible thing happened in their life. But watch this. This is the priestly code for that. Regulations concerning the cities of refuge state that once he had claimed asylum, a perpetrator had to be taken from the city and put on trial. It wasn't that they could just run there and they'd be safe. Watch this. You can't just run to church and be safe. You can't just go in and claim a seat for yours every Sunday morning, if that's the case, and be safe when it comes time to die and face God. It's not a safety. But here's what he said. It says, when you went in to the city of refuge, it didn't exempt you from what you did, but it does give you the right to go and be tried, and the trial found that perpetrator was innocent of murder. If that happened, then the perpetrator had to be returned under guard for their own protection to the city in which they had claimed asylum. You see, they could insist that atonement can only be made by blood. Amen? Amen. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can atone for our sins. I can't go to church and that'll atone for my sins. I can't be good to people and that'll atone for my sins. That has nothing to do with a city of refuge. But if you're lost, your sin dictates to you that you need asylum. You need a city of refuge. You need a place of safety. And he goes on to say, in accordance with the requirement to especially build, they went so far as to make it easier for people to get into the cities of refuge. They built better roads. They didn't have all the chug holes. They were wide so that you could have three or four lanes of traffic. You didn't have to squeeze in somewhere. They were making it easier for them. Folks, let me tell you something. God has made it easy. Listen to me. I'm not talking about easy believism where that you can believe anything you want to and go to heaven. I'm not talking about that at all. But God has made it. He's given us his word. He has widened this thing so that we could know exactly what to do and when to do it. He gave us the word of God to be preached and taught so that we could listen to it and follow into it. So they built the roads, especially to the cities of refuge. The roads to these cities were not only marked with signposts that said, City of Refuge just ahead. You knew. And every time the word of God is preached, a person who is lost knows that God is saying, there's a city of refuge. There is a place where you can be safe. There is a place where you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no harm can come to you. I can take you in and hold you and warm you and comfort you and take care of you. There is a city of refuge. By the way, Jesus Christ is your refuge. He is your place of safety. And he went on to say, but the roads were twice the regulation width and were particularly smooth and even in order that fugitives were unhindered as much as possible to get into the city of refuge. When a perpetrator arrives at the city, he had to listen to this. When he arrived at the city, he had to disclose the events which had occurred in his life. You can't go before God and say, God, I ain't telling you what I've done. I ain't going to admit that I've done anything. I'm not going to admit that I'm not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to go down there with all those other Christians, and I'm going to go in and sit with them, and everything's going to be okay. You're not going to get by with that. That's a fool's way of doing it. God's not going to put up with it. That's what he tells us. If you're going to come in, you're going to repent of the sin that's in your life. And the important sin is that the sin of unbelief, where you did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, is the Son of God, will forever be the Son of God, and he will forever be the Savior of all mankind. That's not going to change. If you want to be a fool and not believe that, you go right ahead. But if you do, I got to tell you that a fool will go to hell. Sounds rough, sounds tough, but I got to share this with you because you say, well, you just got that information from somewhere else. Well, let me just tell you, I did not. Amen? Here's what the Bible says in Numbers 35:9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger. We have an avenger, folks. He's after you. He's after your children. He's after anybody you know who's lost. He wants to keep them lost. He wants to kill them. Could I take it that far? Because that's what the avenger was going to do. The avenger was going to kill the person. And he's out to kill you. That the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on the side of Jordan. Three cities shall be given in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner. Listen now, this takes in everybody. If you're a lost person, unbelief is unbelief. It doesn't matter how religious you've been in your life. It doesn't matter how religious your your dad, mom, grandma, grandpa, everybody could have been preachers, Sunday school teachers, and everything else, but that's not going to change anything. He says, but for any of you who are children of Israel, or for the stranger, for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And I'm saying to you, it does not matter what you have done in your life. Did I say that plain enough? It does not matter what you have done in your life, but what you have done in your life as far as your relationship with God, if it is not right through Jesus Christ the Lord, you are as lost as you can be, and in hell you will lift up your eyes. Unless you quit being a fool, unless you quit being stupid, unless you quit being witless, mindless, brainless, and accept what God has. This is not what I have. I've just been preaching for over 50 years that it has nothing to do with what I say except what God says right here. And God says you better do something about your relationship with me, or you're going to be a fool who's going to go to hell. What a shame. What a shame that a person would be a fool. So I would say to you, don't wait too long. Please don't put it off and wait too long. I was going to a store one time, and I knew that the store closed at a certain time, and I knew they'd had a sale on that day of an item that I wanted. And I knew I needed to get there, and I knew their hours of the store. And I got there about 5 minutes too late. The door was already locked. Now that was a minor thing. I just wanted something they had on sale. But when the door was locked, I thought, this can't be. I'm just a few minutes late. Surely somebody will let me in. No, they wanted to go home. You weren't getting in. The door was locked. And I would say to you, one day the Lord's going to push the switch, and it'll be midnight, and there'll be a midnight cry. Time will be up. At midnight, time's up. Right? And I would say to you, don't wait too long. Please don't. Don't be one of those people who gets so near yet is so far away. What's the name of that song that we sing in the old book? We do it for invitational sometimes. And it's almost, thank you, Tom, almost persuaded. And I would say to you, don't be almost persuaded. Don't be. That's foolish. It's foolish to be almost persuaded. Don't die without hope. You don't have to die without hope. He made it so that you could have hope. And I'm not talking about a hope for today. I'm talking about hope for tomorrow. I'm talking about hope in eternity. He is our hope. He's everything we need. And he's made it available. We just need to get into the city of refuge. Go in, you'll be safe. Your family members, your friends, if you can lead them to that place, they'll be safe. There was a man, and the Bible speaks of him, and I was going to share that with you too. I think I'll just do that before I let you go. His name was Abner. You can look him up. His name was Abner. He revolted and decided he wasn't going to the city of refuge. And you know what the Bible calls him? The Bible called him a fool. Good man. People cried. People cried. You can read about it. They cried. Well, let me just read it. I had a verse marked here. I'll just read it for you. That'll be okay, won't it? Let me see where it is. If I can find it, I can read it. if I can find it, that is. And the king lamented, the king cried, and the king lamented over Abner and said, he died as a fool dieth, simply because he wouldn't go to the city of refuge. He could have gone to the city of refuge, but he didn't, and he died. And somebody you know may die, and they could just step into the city of refuge. They could easily step in just by repenting of their sin of unbelief and step in. If you know of someone who's there, please beg them to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Don't be a fool. Don't wait too long. It's important, folks. Let's bow our heads. Almost persuaded, but not. What a pity. The city of refuge, it's your right, it's your privilege to go to it, to go to Him. He wants you to. Lord, we thank you for reminding us one more time that a person who plays the fool will not walk into heaven. Lord, help us to encourage people to soon and very soon get to know Jesus as their Savior. And we're going to praise you for everything you will allow us to be and do when we leave here today. And I pray that we'll do that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will, please. And we're going to sing a verse of this song. What is it, Tom? 368. If you would turn to page 368, let's sing this together. Now, this a song at the end of a service like this is not just an add-on. This is a necessary part because, you see, this is a time of decision. This is the time when a person who has been touched by the Holy Spirit sees that their life is not where it needs to be, and they no longer want to play the fool. They want to be what God wants them to be, and as long as He allows them to live, they're going to be exactly that. So this is a very important time. Let's sing one verse of that song, would you? Can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood. Jesus. I thank God for that. He didn't make it confusing where there were different roads to take. He gave us one road to get on, and we know because it's signed refuge. The city of refuge. Oh, it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Is Mom going back? It has been so good to have Victoria's mom with us for 2 weeks. And she's going back north now. And you know she needs prayer if she's going north. I love her. She's got a sweet spirit, just a sweet, sweet spirit. Don't go through Pennsylvania. He's